Hello, Internet.
And apparently chat, is chat not working or is it just me? Oh, it was just me.
It's working even for me.
Just you.
Hey, in our pre-music banter, I gotta say, I had myself a rather tasty beverage today.
Oh, do tell.
Well, one of my coworkers went on a vacation to Iceland, and he really, really enjoyed it. It seemed very cool. Maybe someday when I'm able to go on vacations again, I will go there. And yes,
if you're still in Iceland, then
he did have Hakarl, and his description to all of us is not as bad as he expected. And if you want to have the experience at home without having to kill a Greenland shark, just take a piece of stinky Swiss cheese and pee on it.
Oh, now what was the item that you said?
It was the drink that I just had is the
the shark thing. Say the word again. Right, and that's like a fermented shark meat.
It's Greenland shark, which is the only poisonous species of shark.
And right.
Wait a minute. Poisonous shark. That's
and then
wrong.
they like ferment it or like age it or let it rot.
It's essentially freeze dried fermentation
and rotted.
Yeah, it's pretty much shark sauerkraut.
Shark sauerkraut, everybody. Okay.
And it smells like pee.
You know, it's interesting how almost every culture has a rotted food something that is like a thing they eat.
That's certainly not true in Italian culture. It's not like we eat tripe. Oh, wait, we do.
That's not rotted, really? Though. You eat that fresh.
No, it's just stomach.
This is gross. Technically, it's rumen, Jay. Rumen is different than stomach.
Yeah. Oh, yes, technically true. Very true.
Bradley just asked, what is the Irish rotted food thing? And I can't think of anything.
Well, Ireland's cold enough cabbage. That it might not rot.
We don't do anything to the cabbage except boil it or saute it.
Irish
boil a lot of meat.
Is whiskey.
Yeah, we made whiskey out of our rotted food. We had rotted grain, and we made whiskey out of it. You're welcome. You're welcome, everybody.
Thank God for that.
Bradley says we Irish will boil the shit out of anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, God.
It's true.
Giggle snort. I swear.
Giggle snort.
I gotta stop
Yeah,
that.
we don't really have a rotted food thing. I'm trying to think, but I don't think we do.
Worcestershire. Worcestershire.
No, that's
sauce.
British. Stop it, Alan.
Wow.
God, you want to fight
okay.
We're like 4 minutes into the show.
So the British have a rotted food thing.
Fine.
British have many rotted food.
Which things. Apparently they imported from India, so it's not really even theirs.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I don't know.
All right, weird. The weirdo report.
Oh, well, yeah. She's it seems like she's working her way down. She's planning her escape.
I'm betting on the 18th.
I still have the 15th.
Okay.
I still have the 6th.
You're
too late. Sorry.
You win, Jay. I was lying to all you. Fuck you guys. but yeah. But the drink I had, he brought back a nip bottle. He brought a big kid bottle for himself, and brought a couple of us nip bottles of Brennivín, which is the schnapps of Iceland.
Oh,
and it
what
is,
flavor?
It is mostly like caraway seeds, which is what they use to flavor rye bread. So it's got that kind of rye bread flavor. It's very, very savory. And very, very good. I want to make martinis out of it. So,
did they bring it over in like holy water bottles? Because this has been my experience of booze from other countries. Holy water bottles.
It looks like Tanqueray gin bottles. It's a green rounded bottle.
My family used to smuggle back poutine from Ireland in holy water bottles.
What is pachingo?
Nice.
Poutine is like. I don't know what the American word is. It's like the Irish version
Everclear.
Of. Yeah, it's like the Irish version of like what's I don't know.
Moonshine.
It's like
homemade,
it's moonshine.
Irish
Thank
shine.
You. It's like Irish moonshine. Yeah.
I gotcha.
My
Yeah, but it came in holy water bottles all the time.
Nice. My grandfather on my mother's side used to make his own vermouth stock, which was like 190 proof. It's pretty much the same thing. Yeah, my uncle got into it one time, and with humorous effects. It was the 19th.
Imagine that'd fuck you up in not a good way.
Yeah. He was listening to his stereo down in the basement, and his mother, you know, the grand Irish matriarch, Italian matriarch, is yelling downstairs, Sonny, you come upstairs. And he couldn't hear it because he had his headphones on, you know, because this was the dawn of hi-fi. And they sent my mom down the stairs, you know, little mom trots down the stairs and says, Sonny, mom's calling you. You know, pokes him until she gets his attention, and then mom's calling you. And he says, oh, she can go fuck herself at a volume 10. He thought he was whispering.
Oops.
Of course, because the headphones, it was at a volume 10. Of course, jets landing. And my grandfather, the, you know, local police officer, both grandfathers were police officers, came down the stairs and had a little chat with my uncle. And by chat, I mean, you know, basically bounced him around the room for about 20 minutes.
Nice.
Yeah. He never, ever, ever got into the vermouth again.
Behavioral therapy.
And then he went into the Navy shortly thereafter, so. I think he was more afraid of his mother.
Yeah.
When Italian ladies, when their lips disappear, run. That's all I'm saying. That's my safety tip to you.
But where do the lips go?
They disappear. You don't want to know where they go. Just run.
Oops.
Drop whatever's in your hands and run. Because shit's about to get real.
Jay, how's your father today?
He is doing much better, thank you. He had his hip replaced. Mm-hmm. And despite my arguments, they did not put in the Steve Austin $6 million hip. I thought that would be kind of cool.
Did they add the sound effects, though?
I'm aiming for that. It's funny because you can instantly gauge if the person in the room is from your generation. Because if they instantly know that sound, then, yep, it's like, $6 million in. Yeah, no.
Or the bionic woman. Same sound.
Yes.
Is it the same sound?
Jamie Summers.
Hmm.
I have no idea how I remember that.
I'll have to request that as an option for my new leg.
There you go.
I bet they can do that. A bionic
I'm
sound
sure.
effect.
Actually, Jay, just so you know, my dad had his hip replaced several years ago, and yeah, it was an alarmingly like. Quick and good recovery. So your dad will be just the same, but it wasn't quite as terrifying as when he had his knee replaced, because my dad went from having a handicap placard on his car and walking very, very poorly with a cane to walking around like as soon as he could put weight on the thing, he was moving faster than he was for like months beforehand and experienced no pain.
Huh.
At least no sensation similar to pain. When the pain medication started to wear off, he would start to get the sweats and feel uncomfortable, but not pain. And I just kept going, Dad. I said, Dad, they cut your fucking leg off. There's got to be some pain. I mean, they pretty much have to 90% sever the leg to replace a knee.
Sure.
And nothing. Just he was just better.
Huh.
Of course, this is pre-Obamacare.
This is pre-Obamacare.
Yeah.
And technically speaking, your dad is pre-Obamacare because no one can get the fucking thing to work.
He's got a pre-ban hip.
Hey, let's play the music and start.
I like
the
music.
Start the show. Woo. It is Thursday, October 10th, 2013, and it's time for the Squirrel Report. The Shutdown Theater Part 2.
Oh, good.
Yeah, we got
to. Are we going to? I really hope we don't have Part 3.
Yeah, I bet we will.
Today is a sequel, and like all sequels, it is. Everything is a little bit more outlandish and a little bit worse.
Except for Empire Strikes Back.
Yes,
and
or Aliens or Godfather Part 2,
right.
Or
Road Warrior.
Road Warrior.
Road Warrior kicked the shit out of Mad Max, and Mad Max is a fucking great movie.
Mad Max was a great movie, but it pales in comparison.
Yes, yes, yes. Just walk away.
Yeah. I give you free passage to the wastelands. I love the Ayatollah of rock and roll.
Yes, and what is it? Smith & Wesson Model 629, wasn't it?
Just M29, I think.
Right. It was a chrome 29 or nickel.
I think it was blue. I'm going to IMFDB right now.
Oh, goodness. Every once in a while, all the background hissing and popping stops, and it's like, oh, shit, I lost my line.
Yeah, I get that all the time on cell calls.
It's like all of a sudden everything is crystal clear, and I'm like, oh, crap. Oh, wait, no, there's just no background noise anymore.
Yeah, Reader and Wheat, motherfuckers. Ah. Weird Beard knows his Road Warrior.
For Christ's sake.
And I love the fact that he just puts just the one shell in.
Yeah.
And can't control the wheat recoil worth a fuck.
Oh, yeah, look at that. Sure as shit. Actually,
hey, Jay, it's got a long barrel.
It does. It's got the 8 3/8 inch. I want that so bad.
All right. So anyway.
All right. Sorry to bore you.
Well, I wanted to start off, and I was going to start off with something else, but this really piqued my interest, and I'm going to put a link in the chat. There was a post. I think most everybody knows who Joe Huffman is. He's the guy that does Boomer Shoot. And he has a blog called The View from North Central Idaho. And one of his people that blogs on his blog is somebody named Rolf. And Rolf wrote a very interesting post today comparing the National Park Service and the shutting off of the parks and all that kind of stuff to the Milgram experiment. Which, if you don't know, the Milgram experiment was done at... where was it done? Yale University. Anyway, they took a bunch of students, and they took the group and they divided them up and said, "Okay, you half your prisoners, you half your guards," and they basically took them down in a basement and set it where they had a pretend prison set up, and they actually had to, you know, they had to stop the experiment like a few days into it because the guards were just literally abusing the shit out of the prisoners.
No, I'm sorry. Can I interrupt?
What?
You have the wrong experiment.
Oh, do I?
Yeah.
Oh, you're right. I do. I'm sorry. I was thinking of the wrong one. No, the Milgram.
This is the electroshock.
Okay, you're right. I was thinking. What was the one I was thinking of?
I can't remember. I can't remember the name of it. But yeah, I know what you're talking about.
It applies too. But anyway,
it does. It does apply. But yes, it's not the Milgram experiment.
To be fair, the scientist in me likes to point out that both of them are valid experiments.
Stanford.
But not necessarily valid in every way that it was interpreted, because one of the big key factors of this, which does work extremely well in government, police forces, and all of that, is that the administrating body was the, you know, quote unquote authority figure, was the boss of everything. And they idly sat by as the abuses went on, or in the case of the electroshock experiment, as people were going, "Is this person okay? No, don't worry, they're okay."
Well, that actually happens in real life.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and I'm saying that works. Especially police forces is a great example. Look at Officer Royd Rage in Canton. You know, he was a horrible, horrible abuse of authority and has just, I mean, a track record. I mean, my joke is, you know, can the guy get to sleep at night without threatening to kill somebody? Because
basically, the Milgram experiment is like it involves three people, right?
Right.
And so there's a person who is getting the electroshock therapy.
Actually, they're just pretending.
I know they're pretending, yes. They're pretending. The person who is giving it and the person who is instructing the administration of the electroshock.
And their response is always, we must continue with the experiment.
We must continue. And the person who is really under test here is the person who is administrating, or they think they're administrating the electroshock. And they have somebody above them in a position of authority saying, nope, you have to continue. Nope, we have to keep going on. Nope, this is the rule. You know, this is your job. You have to do this. We are instructing you to do this. This is your orders. And the person in the middle keeps doing it, even though the person who is pretending to receive the electroshock is acting like they are in extreme pain, you know, at the point of death. So that's the experiment.
Yes.
The person in the middle who is actually, you know, administrating the shock is the test subject. The other people are in on it.
Well, and you know, that's that whole, you know, authority thing, right?
Right.
So,
well, it's also, you know, if the person is giving electroshock to somebody and has somebody superior to them telling them to do it, they feel like they're not culpable.
Right.
They feel like, well, I'm just following orders.
And, the other one I was thinking of was the Stanford prison experiment.
Stanford, yeah.
I put it in chat.
Oh, you did? Oh, well, I don't pay attention to chat.
I'm just trying to help. I just want to be loved. Is that so wrong?
So anyway, we've got, you know, the Park Service is doing these just really stupid things, you know, blocking off sidewalks and they're, you know, what was it you were telling me, Brita, that they were, who was, somebody was telling me the, talking about how they're, you know, normally the, like, for instance, the World War II Memorial maybe have like one or two park cops kind of hanging around making sure nobody like paints graffiti on it or something. But now that they've got it shut down, there's like a whole squad of them standing around making sure nobody goes on the sidewalk.
Hey, you got to spend money to make money. Thank you, Jay.
And they have people like, you know, putting up barricades and signs.
Barricades.
Yeah, barricades.
Yes.
Oh, I love that term.
It is. It's perfect.
If that does not go down in history, there's something wrong.
I think it's going to.
I think it will, too.
Just like gerrymander.
But these and it brings up the whole, you know, because people always go on and on about how, oh, no, gun confiscation can't happen here. The police will never go door to door and take everybody's guns, except that they have, right? In Louisiana, they did. In New Orleans.
Yep.
That's exactly what they did. And there was another city up, oh, shit. Where was the one up north where they had... Was it? Oh, it was after the hurricane up in New York. They went around in people's houses and started collecting stuff.
Yep.
Hurricane Sandy, in New Jersey.
Well, not in New Jersey, but
nobody has guns in New Jersey.
I don't know. Well, you know,
and that, I mean, and of course, I mean, we've also got the whole. You know, New York, I think it was New York City and California did it when they suddenly decided that the SKS was a quote-unquote assault weapon and that the people that had them registered just as non-illegal assault weapons suddenly were declared illegal weapons. And then they didn't actually go door-to-door in that case, at least that I know of. Someone who knows it better might be able to chime in. Remember, that call-in number is 214-530-0036. But they just simply said these are illegal. You've got a certain amount of amnesty period to turn them in, and then we've got your address because registration leads to confiscation.
Yep.
We'll come and take them from you if you don't, and we'll charge you with the crime of possessing them.
Well, and they're doing stupid stuff on orders. I mean they're not, you know, they're not torturing people yet or killing people yet or loading people into boxcars. yet, but they are blocking off scenic overlooks where there's never anyone, and the thing's just sitting there and where people can pull up and stop and look, and they're blocking that off.
Right.
They're blocking off sidewalks, you know, and they're doing this stuff because somebody told them to do it, and nobody's sitting there going, wait a minute, this is stupid. We're not going to do this.
Or how about these inns and private houses that are on federal land grants?
Yeah,
they're taking the people out and shutting the doors. And these are places that use zero public services. All they do is pay the government for the right to occupy this piece of federal land.
Right, they basically have a lease.
Yeah, they have a land lease. And that's the only connection they have to the Federal Park Service, and people are kicking people out of their houses, and telling innkeepers and campgrounds and parks and stuff like that that are completely self-sufficient. They make money. That money is taxed by the government. Then they pay the government for the lease, and they're saying nope. Can't do anything about it because government's shut down. And so, therefore, we are going to pay people with guns to come and shut down your business for you against your will.
And we're going to pay someone to take down all the government websites.
Oh, yeah.
I think that was probably my favorite.
Not even take them down, too. Most of them are still up. They're just going to pay somebody to cover the entrance for.
Yeah. They paid somebody to write a 404 page or something.
Right. Like they somebody's job was to go and make sure that any of the federal government sites popped up that message rather than being useful. You know, like they pay for their websites by the day.
Well, you know, good news, everybody. Michelle Obama's letsmove.org or .gov, I'm sorry, letsmove.gov is still up and running.
Oh, is this before or after they had to throw away a shitload of her stamps because, oh my God, people were actually doing things.
Yeah, how dare
doing
you.
Things they without
they weren't encased in Lucite, so they could not possibly hurt
themselves. Yeah, no, that website is still up and running. I can imagine, like, he would come home after a day at the office and she would probably be livid. Oh, my letsmove.org website is down. How dare you? Blah, blah, blah. So he's probably trying to avoid that.
And she actually has the, unlike Hillary Clinton, that the joke was always throwing ashtrays around the White House. She actually does have ashtrays to throw.
You know, I think they're missing out on a perfect opportunity here. You know how this Obamacare website thing's crashing and burning like terrible. You know, they should have put up a sign and said, "Sorry, government shutdown."
That would have worked well, except for Obamacare is essential.
Yeah, well, that would have put the light of, you know, it's funny because in hindsight. In hindsight, and I was kind of wondering this at the time, but you know, maybe the Republicans shouldn't have like blown all that capital on delay, repeal, and just kind of sat back and watched the train wreck.
I agree.
You know, and just said,
sit back and let it happen.
I agree and disagree at the exact same time. In the fact that I'm glad that they did what they did because they're keeping the unpopularity of this on the forefront because it's going to get rolled out. I mean, that's the whole that's the whole reason why we're in a shutdown right now is because Obama's not going to let us strangle his abomination in the crib. You know, it's keeping it on the front page headlines because the worst fear that we can have for Obamacare is the people are going to forget and become complacent.
Yeah,
because that's how it becomes forever. I mean, that's the whole reason why we still have the NFA. I mean, I can't cut down a Ruger 10/22 so it has a 14-inch barrel, but I can buy a Smith & Wesson 500 Magnum with a 2-inch barrel. What at all is the purpose of that? Well, the reason is because short-barreled rifles always have been.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just You've got to put rifling in your Taurus Judge when you shoot 410 shotgun shells, because if you shot a smooth barrel pistol, that would be horrible and deadly and bad and awful. Why? Because it's always been that way. You know, same reason why Ted Kennedy kept getting reelected. You know, it's not necessarily like he was horribly well loved, because it's not like he ever got elected by that many votes. You know, very few people would even bother, getting up to reelect Ted Kennedy. But because he's always been the senator, he is the senator.
Yep. Well, except for, at a certain point, stuff just doesn't work and it becomes obvious that it doesn't work, and it's mystifying at why there's such willing obliviousness to it. I mean, prohibition was an obvious failure, and they managed a constitutional amendment to repeal it because it was such an obvious failure. The drug war has been an obvious failure.
Oh, I got to interject real quick. I put this up on my blog. I think it was yesterday. Reason TV did an expose on this. Evidently, California is embedding police officers in schools, and they're parading out all these arrests that they're doing. They're arresting drug dealers in our schools, and it's turning out the vast majority of them are special needs students with mental handicaps. And the story that they were talking about was an autistic kid who had zero friends and suddenly made a friend in the high school. And suddenly this friend started saying, "Hey, you got to get me some drugs. You got to get me some drugs." And eventually he was goaded enough that he bought half a joint off of a homeless guy and gave it to this kid who was his friend, quote unquote. And then his friend said, "Oh, wait, I'm not a high school student. I'm a police officer undercover. And you're a drug dealer, and now you're under arrest." And it's just turning out
much like all the terrorist arrests that they do. Right.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah. Goad idiots into doing stupid shit. And
I mean, I was just telling somebody at work I've got a nephew he's not autistic, but we were suspecting he was autistic for a while. It turns out he's adopted. He was removed from his birth parents by the state and adopted by my sister-in-law. But he's got a lot of the gullibility and unaware of social norms and things like that. And we can get him to do the silliest things. We can get him to go off and look for things that aren't there and stuff like that. And We don't do it for harmfulness. We'll send him off on some wild goose chases just to give us a break and give him something entertaining to do. But it doesn't take much effort to send him off looking for something that isn't there. Same thing with the, convincing a kid that they need to go buy some drugs. And furthermore, how much of a is that war on drugs winning if a severely autistic kid can go out and buy drugs off of a homeless man?
Yeah, exactly. Perfect. Hey, let's take a call.
We have a call.
Yeah, okay. Actually, we've had one for a while, but,
Oh, Alan, you should pick it up.
Yeah, this is area code, I don't know where the hell it is. Hello, you're on the air.
Hey, how's it going?
Who's this?
Hello?
This is MDev. You don't recognize my dulcet
tone? Finally!
Good Lord.
Never heard of him.
God.
Who's this guy?
Don't even play this finally game.
We don't know who you are
you
anymore.
Call in, Alan doesn't pick up, and then I get disconnected, and then I say, fuck it, I'm going to go drink instead.
We're in a government shutdown. We can't be held accountable.
MDev, it's always a good choice to blame Alan.
No, I'm not actually blaming Alan. I'm just saying I don't want to be blamed by you.
Okay. Nope,
all complaints can be logged in at allen.gov.
that's currently shut down.
It's currently shut. It's currently shut down. But you can sit there and keep hitting refresh all the fucking while. And if you want, you can buy me some drugs.
I'm sure this has all been covered, but I need two quick updates because obviously I can't hear the stream when I'm waiting on hold for 35 minutes. First of all, Brita.
Yes?
Brita, have you gotten your new Generation 3 leg yet?
No. The estimated delivery date is the 23rd. Okay. I have one more appointment for fitting and for kind of working out the tweaks and everything. I tried on this Monday. I tried on the test socket, and we worked on the alignment and, you know, all that sort of stuff. And we decided that I need another appointment next Monday, but we think maybe the 23rd will be the real deal.
Okay, I'm
trying to not get my hopes up because, you know, this will be version 3.0.
All right. Well,
cross your fingers for me, MDev, because this.
We're all crossing our
fingers. Please.
Yes.
Fingers crossed for you. Actually, you know who I'm really crossing my fingers for is your doctor, because I think he's probably one of
the yeah. Oh, shit. Really?
Actually the one that screwed up her first leg got fired, so.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good.
From a cannon?
From a cannon. Yeah, I wish.
Well, yeah. I remember you what was it? You were corresponding with the CEO of the manufacturer, right? So good. I'm happy for you.
Yeah, actually, the company hangar has been really great and really responsive. I think that good. The one problem was the very first prosthetist I had. She really didn't have a whole lot of experience dealing with congenital amputees and just legs in general. And I think her big mistake was that she never asked for help. She just thought, hey, I can make a leg, no problem, you know, and proceeded to give me something that potentially could cripple me for a long time. So, but the guy that I'm working with now, he's fantastic, and he's very detail-oriented, and he knows, he knows all about legs, and he knows about, you know, how, like, the anatomy kind of works down there and how I should walk and my alignment.
I would hope that's a requirement.
Yeah. Yeah. So, right. So, you know, everything looks good, hopefully.
So I have a quick government shutdown story for you all.
Good.
Yay.
Personal government shutdown.
So a good friend of mine, works for the VA. And it actually is pretty politically savvy. And, you know, as soon as she, you know, got quote unquote furloughed and, but then she also found out that, you know, everybody's getting back pay anyway. She said, fuck it. I'm going to go start my own photography company and is basically using this as a paid vacation to go take pretty pictures. And at some point, she'll get called back to work. But that's the repression that's happening to these poor government employees. Jesus. She goes, they'll pay me eventually, and, you know, for better or worse, I know I'm getting back pay, so I'm going to go do my own thing and not worry about it.
So essentially right now she's a public school teacher.
She's on vacation.
I'm still getting paid so I can take up a part-time job.
Right.
Well, you know what I found out today from her is that they're allowed to file for unemployment, and then when they get their back pay, they're supposed to pay back the unemployment, but if not, they'll just get a sternly worded letter.
Oh, what?
Yeah, actually, that was one of the statistics that came out, I think it was this week, a huge uptick in unemployment, you know, initial
shocking.
Unemployment
well,
request, and it's
that's okay. My mother-in-law volunteers at the local food bank here once a week, and on, like, day three of the shutdown, she already had a bunch of new families saying, well, you know, if the president would let me go back to work, I wouldn't have to be here. And she said it was everything she could to look at and go, you've been out of work for 2 days. It's called
wow.
A weekend.
It's called a weekend.
Yeah.
And
I mean,
they're going to get paid for this, too.
Yeah, of course they are.
That's the best.
I mean, there's no... They already passed a little whatever resolution to This is called paid vacation.
Yep.
Yep. You just get paid a little bit later. That's all.
Yeah.
And then they're going to get paid because they'll get paid all at once. So there'll be this giant check, and it's, you know, it's not like they're going to, like, you know, give money back to the food bank.
Oh, no. I told my boss that if he wants to, you know, furlough me with back pay for a week, I'll not show up for a week.
And you pass it off as a savings.
Yeah, yeah. Gosh, imagine personal responsibility. What is this?
What a country.
An alien concept.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like if you're on work for 2 days, you haven't even missed a check yet.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, no. That's not how this works.
Well, you know, and the other thing is the government's sitting here trying to be the we know best department, right? You know, we know how to run your life and all this kind of stuff. And yet it's staffed by people that don't have enough sense or gumption to have enough money in their savings account that a couple of weeks of, you know, paid vacation is that where they don't get the paycheck right away. You know what I mean? It's like they're going to get paid, but it may be delayed. And yet they don't have enough money stashed away even for that. And yet they're the ones that are coming in going, telling everyone else what they need to be doing.
Alan, it's just their own personal debt ceiling.
We'll just raise the debt ceiling, that's all. We're good to go.
Yeah, well, I hear that's happening tomorrow, that they're going to raise the debt ceiling but not reopen the government.
No.
That seems to be the rumor today on the blogs. But.
Yeah, we'll see.
Mighty aggravating all around.
Yep.
I think whatever number they raise the debt ceiling by, they should put that number of volts through anybody who votes for it.
Hey.
I'm just saying.
You know, I think, Jay, you, and you know what? You know what? I was cleaning out my closet today, earlier this week, and I found an extra 300 rounds of .223 that I didn't know I had.
Right.
You could retire on that, right?
The ammo equivalent of finding $20 in your pocket.
Well, I mean, the sad thing is, like, at least half of it is steel cased, so you know, it's fine. I mean, because my AR.
What's wrong with steel cased?
I have a problem with. In theory, it's harder on my gun.
223 is a straight side case. It's not tapered, and steel case has lacquer on it. And what can happen is when you fire a whole lot, the lacquer gets hot and gummy, and it can cause you to have cases jammed in the chamber and, you know, case heads ripped off by the extractor and stuff like that.
All you need is one, though, right?
Well, if you're just firing one or two at a time, then it's fine.
Just saying.
Yep. Thanks for calling
in. Well, all right, I expect to have a weird baby by next week.
What? Oh, a weird baby, yes.
I think that's going to happen.
Awesome.
I don't know.
We'll see. A little weirdo. You're going to have her on, right?
Not next week.
There better be pictures, at least.
There's going to be pictures.
Taking pictures
on Facebook.
I'm going to see if I can. Okay. I'm going to see if I can play this.
What?
Sheila Jackson Lee.
Oh, no.
Our lovely.
Is she your representative, Ellen?
Not mine.
Are you sure? Houston?
I don't have for. Well, I don't have audio. Anyway, there's Sheila Jackson Lee, the lovely representative from Houston, has declared that martial law will end the government shutdown.
Really, it will.
Who does she plan on sending her goons after, exactly?
She is a goofy, goofy nutcase.
Right.
I mean, she is like,
But she got elected by somebody, you know.
Well, you know,
more goofy nutcases.
Imagine if her and Dennis Kucinich had a love child.
Yeah.
Wow.
I have this
ugliest baby ever.
Oh, and just
and just to prove what I'm talking about, one of our listeners sent this soundboard of Sheila Jackson Lee comments. I know why I don't have sound.
Sprung Cable?
No.
Is the PB&J?
Here we go.
I stand here as a freed slave.
Oh, no. What?
Yeah. As she said in her speech.
I stand here as a freed slave.
She's such a dummy.
No, she's not. She's not 180 years old.
When were you born? Oh, my God.
I'm Congresswoman Sheila Jackson Lee, and I hail from Houston, Texas.
Oh, my
I'm sorry.
Oh, God. I expected the next words out of her mouth to say, I am Zardoz.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God.
Oh, she was, yeah.
Is there more?
Oh, there's more.
Must I die?
Must I die?
Well.
Let's get her in.
I am outraged.
Ooh. Voice crack there.
Yeah. Maybe they could tip over Guam.
Oh, no, this.
I think, here, this one's.
Today we have two Vietnams. Side by side, north and south.
No.
Exchanging and working. We may not agree with all that North Vietnam is doing, but they are living in peace. I would look for a better human rights record for North Vietnam, but they're living side by side.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Oh.
But, you know, George Bush was proof that a village in Texas.
George Bush was an idiot, though, right?
Yeah. George Bush is a goddamn Rhodes Scholar next to this.
Oh, yeah. God.
She is. She's.
You don't understand the logic of my argument. It's not my fault that you can't understand logic.
Oh, this one. I love this one.
Stop.
I love my constituency, but they're obviously ill informed.
Wait, I missed that one. Jay was stepping on it.
Okay.
I love my constituency, but they're obviously ill-informed.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Wow.
I love my people. Pull!
Yeah. I think we should send her to North Vietnam just to...
This is the best one.
I stand here as a freed slave.
Yeah. I love it.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one, Alan.
Actually, can I... A better segue is the talking about the sternly worded letter towards people who are not going to pay back the unemployment benefits that they're essentially just stealing. Obviously, we had the veterans being removed from the Vietnam Memorial. I don't think anyone got removed from the World War II one. But, you know, all these people are being escorted away from these open-air memorials that, you know, normally have almost no staff on them. But what group got special privileges to enter the National Mall, which is closed?
Oh yes, the illegal immigrants.
That's right.
Got to walk on my sidewalk.
Well,
that the government says I can't walk on.
Potential Democratic voters.
Right, World War II.
Potential,
vets,
not even potential Democrat voters.
Yeah, not even potential. I'm sure they've all.
These are.
Democrats.
I mean, These are the people who want to subsidize everything. They want to just, you know, reach into, you know, normal good law-abiding working people's pockets to get them to pay for any old damn pet project they have, but they can't manage to work out, you know, $5 or $6 for to have them get free photo IDs to verify people are Most everybody has a photo ID of some sort.
No, this has always been a huge issue for me. This photo ID issue for voting. Mm-hmm. You cannot get a library card without a photo ID.
Can't buy a beer.
A library card. Yep. Come on, they're giving the books away.
Yep. There's almost nothing. I mean, you hear, you know, I remember those, you know, old things. I mean, I always, you know, hear the joke about this is the name I use to check into hotels so no one can mess around with me, you know. And I've always wanted to check into a hotel as Thomas Collins.
You can't.
And you can't. You just can't because it's one of those we need a credit card so that you can't trash the room and then just disappear. and we need some ID to verify that you're the person that's signed up for this hotel and you're of legal age and whatnot.
And even even if you're paying cash, they still want the credit card.
Yep, exactly. And that's the it's one of those. I ordered a beer at a brewery in Boston yesterday, or Tuesday, and it was and the guy carded me. Mm-hmm. And of course, I did my normal thing of it's a fake ID. Look at that; it looks pretty legit. Let me know if you want some. I can get you in touch with this guy. He's very reasonable. My wife was just rolling her eyes, but I'm like, come on! I've got a beard. I've got fucking wrinkles up my ass from my time at sea and all that. I'm 34 years old and I look 44 years old, and they're asking me for an ID to buy a goddamn beer. But again. I mean, it's just you can't function in society without a positive ID, and except in the places like Massachusetts and stuff like that, where they gouge you for any sort of little thing. I mean, in Maine, I think it's like $10 or $15 to get a photo ID. You can panhandle that in an hour, and yet they say, oh,
weird knows these things.
There's no way that you can, there's no way that you can, that we can allow people to show ID to vote. That's discrimination.
Well, it's a mythical thing.
No, it's the, we want people to vote multiple times.
Well, sure.
We want criminals to vote and we want illegal aliens to vote.
But this whole, It's racist and discriminatory to require ID is a straw man because
I want to say right here. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say real quick. Nobody who's going to vote doesn't have an ID.
Right, but also there is this incentive thing. If you tell a person, "Hey, you can go to the library and get all the free DVDs you want to watch." Until you're blue in the face, all you need is a photo ID. They'll go out and get their damn photo ID really quick.
Yeah, good point.
But if you tell them, "Hey, you need a photo ID to go vote," they'll say, "I don't care." Racist. But if you are giving them something for their photo ID, something tangible like free DVDs, all you want from the library, they will go out and get a photo ID.
Yep.
But again, the reason why they're against the photo IDs has absolutely nothing to do with it being too much of a burden or suppression or all of that. It's the bottom line is they are openly encouraging criminals to vote, and by not having IDs, it means that like in Massachusetts, I've told this all before. My wife, when I vote, I usually vote with my wife. And I usually am nice enough to let her go ahead of me in line, and all you do is you go up and you say your name and you say your address, mm-hmm. and the person flips open the voter books, and pretty much half the time I just go, "Yep, I'm the one right below her."
You don't have to produce ID.
And I get my ballot. I don't even say my fucking name. No, you can't produce an ID. That is illegal. If you pull out an ID, they will tell you to put it away.
See, in Ohio, you have to have ID.
Well, a lot of places have ID, but in Massachusetts, it is illegal for them to ask for ID.
Why do you think we have 90% Democrats in the Mass State House?
Wow.
But the bottom line is that my wife will give her name and address, and they'll go through and they'll look up the address, and I'll just go in behind and just say, "Yep, I'm the guy right below, or I live at the same place," and they'll give me my ballot. How is that not possible for somebody else to go do that?
Oh, anybody could.
Yeah. A million people know my name and my address. Lord knows CSGV's decided to put it up on the internet. people know my name and my address, and that's all you need to know is a person's name and a person's address, and you go to their precinct, and then you can go to the next precinct over and give somebody else's name and somebody else's address. And then furthermore, with the whole Acorn scandal thing, it was people were giving fake names and fake addresses. Nobody gives a shit if there's, such a thing as, as Carbuncle Street. I live at 32 Carbuncle Street. My name's Donald Duck. My parents had a sense of humor. And they'll give you a fucking ballot because that ballot is printed up and that ballot is ready for you. And they'll check your name off of the list whether or not you're a real fucking person. There's no way to know if that's a real person.
We have hence a caller.
Hence the reason that's what a lot of people were saying is, oh, yeah, well, the Acorn people, they were registering people 5 or 6 times, but those people could only vote once. Absolutely not. In the few states where they have voter ID requirements, it works out fine because, yeah, you have to show an ID. So if there's no Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck in that precinct, then the Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck can't do it. But here in Massachusetts, you can put 10 times the town population on the voter links because who cares? And the bottom line is the people that are cheating are the exact people they want to vote.
Yep. We have a caller.
Yay.
Okay.
Hello, area code 360.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Doing fine.
Howdy.
This is Brad, obviously.
Yes, obviously.
Hey, Brad.
Brad. Yes, you're not older than me.
Oh, thank God.
Never Bradley, heard of him.
When's your birthday? What month?
May. End of May.
You're older than me by a month. Yay. Okay, go ahead.
Actually, to pull back to the immigrant rally, I actually don't have a problem that they had a rally there. I think they should have been there. What I have a problem with is they set up things to keep veterans out, but the same people that were keeping veterans out were setting up stages and bringing in Portishers. For the immigration guys, really?
Yeah, that's my exact problem. I've got absolutely no problem with whether you be the illegal immigrant groups or the Ku Klux Klan or whatever filthy piece of shit group out there. You've got the right to peaceably assemble, just like everybody else. Finest kind, more power to you. Gather up that way we can know what you look like. It's my same philosophy of. I think people should be able to, put, no blacks, no Jews can participate, can enter this establishment. Good. But, put your name up on the roster. I'm 100% fine with that. You'll get what you deserve. But the big issue is that they are getting preferential treatment. Is they have free, it's considered their freedom of speech to have a rally on the mall. But it's not the freedom of speech and freedom of expression for people to visit a monument.
Absolutely right. I did like that, at least on my Facebook feed and probably on your guys's because I'm sure I shared it. When they were first blocking out the Marines, the World War II vets, a lot of them were posting pictures going, shit, Normandy was closed when we got there too. We still landed. We've got the beach. What the hell?
I suspect if they had tried to forcibly remove them, that things would have gotten really ugly. And I don't think the Park Service would have come out on top.
No, I don't think they would. I think they would have found a whole bunch of weapons all of a sudden, and the Park Service would have lost out.
Would have looked an awful lot like Gran Torino.
That's the thing is, those guys have been there, done that. They don't give a shit anymore.
Right. They're 90 years old. Yeah. They don't give
what are they
going
to do?
Ass.
Oh, they're going to go to jail and get free medical care for the rest of their lives. And they get to lay around and nobody's going to fuck with them. I mean, come on. I'm surprised more geezers aren't committing crimes anyway.
I'm waiting for it, man.
People that
give another 30
that.
Years. I'm cutting down my shotguns. Fuck you. Come get me. Hey, you dead kids.
What's funny is listening to my dad whenever North Korea acts up. That's his. He's like, my God, I was shooting those bastards with an M14 back then. I can do it again. I still got the
people. Yeah.
Like, Dad, it's not the same one. Same brand, bastard.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah, it might be some of the same ones.
Wait, do they have M14s in Korea?
Oh, yeah.
I did not know that.
Did they have M14s? I thought they had Grands and M1s. The M1 carbines.
Carbines. Yeah, that was my impression.
Sure the M14 was in Korea.
I wasn't there.
Yes, you were. Don't
I don't.
Lie.
I don't remember that. Well,
he wasn't there. He was stationed in Germany during the Korean War.
Well, C90.
Standard issue 1959. So I think that's past.
C90 says M1 Grands, M1 Carbines, BARs, and M1903 A4s.
And Thompsons.
Yeah, well, Thompsons.
Thompsons were in use through Vietnam. So.
Well, yeah, but they weren't. I don't know that they were standard issue.
They may not have supposed to have been, but.
All I know is my dad carried both when he was in the Marine Corps, so. I might got it wrong. He would correct me on that.
He could probably tell you his serial number still.
Yes, he can. That's actually how I can tell if I've woken him up, if I call him too early in the morning. Even though he retired in 1969, if you get him at just the right time, he'll answer the phone. Master Gunnery Sergeant Lydon, what? Really, Dad? Really? You've been out longer than I've been alive.
You know what I find I really like is the CMP, and there are guys out there that are finding the Garands that they were issued when they were in the service.
Yes.
And they're finding that serial number and buying it, which is just awesome.
It's beyond
cool.
Part of the Springfield Armory Museum, there's actually a documented M1 Garand where they found the gentleman that it was issued to like 40 years later. And it was the gentleman who was giving the tour recounted the story. It was like pure blind shit luck because one of the Springfield Armory employees knew someone who was a friend of that guy's family, and they got him in touch with. They've got a whole display on it. It's really, really cool. It's one of the very few reasons to actually visit Massachusetts.
The other being the driving,
and the or how about on a similar thing, but unfortunately a little less sad, a little more sad because of the lack of freedom, is the people that got the K-31s, the Swiss rifles, and a lot of them, the guys would write their names on a piece of paper and stick it in the buttstock, and people would get them off the surplus market and pop the buttstock off, and out would come a piece of paper with an old faded name and rank, and they'd go and look up the person and contact them and say, hey, I got your rifle.
Cool. Hey,
I wouldn't do that because I'd be afraid they want it back.
We're out of time. Thanks for calling, Bradley.
Thanks, Bradley.
And we are really out of time. That went quick.
That did go quick. Let's go another hour.
No.
That's not.
No.
No.
Come on. The next hour will be clothing optional.
I did want to point out, just FYI, because it was kind of on the topic, the Obamacare exchanges are crashing and burning. Apparently nobody at all has signed up in Hawaii or I don't know, maybe Nevada. I don't know. Anyway,
or the fucking country, let's face it.
51,000 people in the country have been able to sign up. 51,000.
And how many people of those work for various lobbying groups?
Right. And how many millions of dollars have we spent on that website?
It would have been better to just cut everybody a check.
$630 million.
Last I heard, right. most of the people who are saying that they signed up and they're happy with their plan, oddly enough, A, didn't actually sign up. They just went on the website or whatever and didn't actually buy anything, and sign their name at the end, and they got a nice healthy check for saying that they got it and they love it.
Right. Well, it's like the stimulus. You know, it would have been cheaper just to cut everybody a check.
Yep. Yeah, but they couldn't get their hands in the till for that.
Right. And here we are.
Yep. And if they cut everybody a check, all that money wouldn't have gone to the bankers. It would have actually gone to, people.
It would have made it toward the bankers eventually.
Yeah, but it would have, instead of going straight to the bankers, it would have made a detour through, actual people.
The bankers would only get a slice.
Right.
Oh, and by the way, folks, go on iTunes. 5 stars, more hog. By the way, I like the chat now says chat now with more hog.
I know. I like it too.
Yeah, I added that. I thought it was appropriate.
I think so.
All right. Well, thanks everybody for listening. It's been another, another.
I'm not going anywhere. I'm staying here.
Yeah, I'm going to hang up on you.
God forbid I go upstairs and try to sleep next to my extremely pregnant, snoring wife.
That's why they invented sofas.
I've slept in racks on the boats that were wider than the allotment that I get these days.
You got two girls in the bed kicking you out of the room.
You are so going to pay for that, weird.
Put it on my tab.
Yep.
All right. Well, good night, everybody. Have a good week.
Yep. See y'all next week. Bye.
Good night.